You know, I realize that we haven't really talked a lot on the RSC podcast about the backstage element of theater, about the technical side of theater. And I was always wondering, you know, well, I should probably wait until I could really talk to somebody who could write the book about technical theater. And lo and behold, I have genuinely found the guy who's written the technical theater textbook. Tal Sanders is the head of technical theater here at Pacific University in Oregon. And you've literally written the book about technical theater, am I right?
Well, I've written a book about technical theater. Anyway, I hope it becomes the book for technical theater.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. Thanks for subscribing, streaming, or downloading and listening to us on your computer or tablet or phone. I'm Austin Titchener, one third of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, number 559, Technical Theater Textbook. Students and teachers head back to school this week in the U.S., so it seems like the perfect time to talk to my friend Tal Sanders, assistant professor of theater at Pacific University in Oregon, who has written a new textbook about technical theater, and it's absolutely free. Tal has taught technical theater for a long time, so I began by asking him whether there was even a need for a theater textbook like this.
There are amazing technical theater textbooks out there, and this is a class that I've taught for, I guess, close to 30 years, and have used these major textbooks over and over again. The problem for me was twofold. One is that here at Pacific University, a fairly small liberal arts college, right, the students that I have are not likely to choose our school because they are bound on a path for technical theater, because they'll go to a school that has a brand new auditorium and a full fly space and all those kind of things. And well, they should if they have that choice, right?
Right. They're majoring in other things. Yeah.
They're majoring in other things, and even our theater majors, our core majors, are largely performers, and that I think is also, you know, right and could be foreseeable for a school our size.
Right.
So. My students, though, obviously in this art form, many instructors believe that in a collaborative art form, you have to know a little bit about everything that's going on around you to really appreciate not only how the process moves forward collaboratively, but also what it means if you're a director or even an actor asking for a change in a prop or a set. There's work involved, and so appreciating that, and then also.
It's good. In other words, it's good for a director to know what goes into the thing that you're asking for.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we all want to seem like experts in our field, and so some basic knowledge and terminology and stuff is a shorthand for all of us that helps everybody understand. And getting to an understanding is the hard part of collaboration, so it makes sense that we're trying to knock off those things, right? So the problem for me was my students are not going to be technicians, but they need to understand, you know, the basics. And I, as an instructor, you know, if these students are going on to grad school or working professionally, you know, there's a line of knowledge that we all expect that people have, and I wanted to give that to them. So the textbooks that are out there that are wonderful have two problems for me. One is that they're very expensive.
Right.
Like $150 a pop for a textbook. And if I was teaching students who were going to be in technical theater for their whole careers or designers, they would use that as a reference and they'd go back to it over and over again and I wouldn't feel so bad.
Right.
But that's not the core group of my students. So there wasn't an affordable textbook that was basic. And so my calling was primarily that. Also, I wanted to take a sabbatical and I needed something to do, and writing a textbook seemed like a good thing to do.
And that was a good excuse for taking a sabbatical.
Yeah, well, you have to have one. They say, we'd like to give you a sabbatical, but what are you going to do?
Yeah,
so,
right. Sitting around drinking beer is not a good enough
reason? It doesn't really count. And it's kind of embarrassing when you come back and you have to do your sabbatical review to, you know, just bring empty 12 packs or whatever. So I decided to write this book, and then the best thing about it for me was because price was an issue, and the other thing I was going to say was that the textbooks that are out there that are great are too in-depth. Like, it actually turns my students who don't need that full base of knowledge. It turns them off because it just becomes too technical.
Sure.
It's wiring diagrams and things that they just don't understand and don't really have a need to. I had a hard time compelling myself to make them learn that when I knew they didn't need to know that.
Right.
Some people don't, but they don't need it. So I've written an introductory textbook that I think is not overwhelming, that covers all the basic concepts, that is through our publisher here, Pacific Press at the university. We're going to publish as an open source textbook, free to the world, for pushing a button to say download PDF and you'll own this book. So I hope that it finds a market both for high schools, community theaters, and colleges around the country. And then I hope it does become the book on technical theater, just for its price point.
What an amazing resource. I was going to say resource for some reason. What an amazing resource for anybody involved in the theater. I mean, anybody, not even, like, I'm teaching directing. You know, I could say to my directing students, you should download this book, because you need to know this stuff as well.
Absolutely. I think that's absolutely true, and there's a glossary, it'll all be hyperlinked. There's just a lot of it is terminology for the theater, right? We have at least three stupid names for everything that we do, because we have to be like that.
And sometimes it's just, get the thing.
right, exactly. But there's probably a name for that thing, or two, or three names for that thing.
Right.
So I've tried to hyperlink all that. So yes, I think it's going to be a great resource for that. It's also, I guess the other new offering of this textbook is that it's modular in format. So the typical subjects that we're covering, lighting and sound and scenery and props, are all packaged individually so that one could teach them in any order and the book doesn't suffer. It doesn't reference you back to chapter one for that information. It just is all cross-referenced within. And I think that makes use in classes, like you're saying, where you just want a piece of the knowledge, easier and compartmentalized. But also, people like myself who teach within a production schedule often find their lab is the stage that's becoming the scenery for the show, and so you can only teach things when they're right for the production process, and since that changes every year, therefore the textbook should be able to flow with that as well.
You're right, you can't teach lighting when you can't get at the instruments because they're in the air because they're lighting a show.
Exactly, and I can't teach scene painting the day the show opens because it won't look like what it's supposed to after the painting class has been on it.
But that's interesting, so it's not only a resource for students or amateur practitioners, it's a resource for other teachers learning to either teach or learn about this stuff.
Yeah, well, I hope it's formatted at least in a way that helps them adjust their schedules and pick the pieces of the book that work for their classes and let go of the pieces that don't. Yeah, absolutely.
This all sounds great, but I think I've detected a flaw in the idea. How are you going to make any money doing this?
That is a potential flaw. So we're not going to make any money doing this. It's part of this new movement of open source learning. So my thought is that a textbook like this on an introductory subject probably should be free information to the world. I think that if you're writing an advanced book on something that you've spent your career researching, you should absolutely make money on that. I think if you're teaching something like what I'm talking about, that most of what we do has been around for about 400 years.
Right.
I don't feel a great ownership of the knowledge. So, I mean, I assembled it. I put it together in a way that I hope is accessible information. But I don't own any of it, and it's all things that people taught to me over the years. So I'm happy to give it away. And as I'm sure you can appreciate, and probably your audience too, in theater, man, if we can create new people to do and carry this art form forward, it's worth it. And I, in a way, I was paid. They paid me while I was on sabbatical.
True.
To write this book. And so they said, actually, the publisher was, if people wanted a printed copy, which I think is probably rare if you could just click the download button.
Right.
But if people wanted printed copies, that there would probably be a modicum charge for that, and that's money that I could pocket if I wanted to, which I think we're going to put into a scholarship fund, because it's not, if it ever comes down the pike, it's not going to be enough money to really worry about. But I'd be happy to see it go to students.
But that's a great idea as well. With the rise of print on demand sort of technology, that's not even difficult or expensive, I don't think, anymore.
No, it absolutely isn't. And so yes, the idea that there could be a whole library of books that are available for basically the cost of the ink and the paper is great. And I think that colleges are really moving towards that. I know that I'm not the only professor who's taken a sabbatical to write a text of this type. In fact, there's a great book on that covers all of theater that I think came out of Orange Grove Press, maybe in Florida, that was done by a consortium of like three professors from different universities, all on sabbatical, all writing to an open source document. And it's a beautiful textbook.
I'm Ken Ludwig, a playwright and author of Lend Me a Tenor, Crazy for You, Baskerville, and the new book, How to Teach Your Children Shakespeare, and you're listening to the Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast.
Where can you RSC the RSC? In a few weeks, our fall tour of 2017 begins in the U.S. with performances of all the great books abridged, William Shakespeare's long-lost first play abridged, and the ultimate Christmas show abridged in Culver and South Bend, Indiana, West Long Branch, New Jersey, Aiken, South Carolina, Davis, California, Laramie, Wyoming, Asheville, North Carolina, Maryville, Tennessee, Somerville, New Jersey, San Jose, California, Algona, Iowa, Reston, Virginia, and La Mirada, California. Also next month in September 2017, you can see us perform the complete works of William Shakespeare abridged revised in Hong Kong and Singapore. Next winter, we'll be performing William Shakespeare's long-lost first play abridged off-Broadway at the New Victory Theater in New York City. And in June of 2018, we'll return to the Pittsburgh Public Theater to close out their season with our production of William Shakespeare's long-lost first play abridged. As always, the very best way to stay up to date about all of our worldwide performance dates is to sign up for the Reduced Reader, our email newsletter. Go to reducedshakespeare.com and click on the link to subscribe and check out our touring page for specific box office, venue, and ticket information.
Is there stuff about technical theater or the technical side of theater that you wished directors and actors or even audiences knew more or appreciated more?
That's a great question. I think that It's a two-sided knife, right? Because we often have said that what the best design is the things they don't notice. It's the most cohesive and is the best supporting element for a show if we just don't consider it,
right,
but assume. I'm not sure that outlook really holds true for modern audiences. I think we do appreciate what we're looking at, and I think that as
and we like looking behind the scenes.
We love to see behind the scenes. I mean, I've been in the theater on a few occasions when something went awry in a professional production and they had to stop, and there's nothing to get an audience on your side like letting them behind the curtain, right? It's a wonderful moment when it happens. I saw Carol Burnett handle it beautifully in a musical theater production, and I mean, those people would have done anything for her just to watch her go through this problem. Yeah, so I think that audiences do appreciate the art that's happening. I also think that theater as an art form in more recent years has really moved away from the kind of ultra realism that we were doing for a while to really compete with film and television, and we still do that and we can do it super well, but I think a general taste for theater has moved more towards the theatrical, as it says, no, this is what I am as an art form, and that lends to towards people paying attention to scenery, because it's not literal, it's some representation of what we're supposed to be transported to.
Right.
So yeah, I don't know. I think that the things that audiences can appreciate are just that that everything's been specifically created, that it's really considered what they're looking at usually, and coordinated. Color palettes are hard to coordinate. When that works beautifully in the theater, I really appreciate it. I think that's something that people can see. And You know, and I think that, I mean, specifically you asked about directors, and for the most part I said I've worked with wonderful people who do already appreciate what, yeah. what design can bring to the work. I think that... That thinking about, rather than just the needs of supporting a scene, mm-hmm. but the real sculpting of the theatrical space around the actor is a kind of collaboration that doesn't always have, we don't always ask for that kind of level of specificity.
Right.
But I think that's the kind of collaboration with a director that really gets me going. When we understand how we can sculpt all the elements, not just put something on a stage with the actor, but sculpt an area for the audience to view this scene through,
yeah.
that's about light and shape and scale and color and depth and all those things at once.
Am I right in thinking that you and I accomplished some of what you're talking about in our production of Much Ado About Nothing?
I absolutely think we did, yeah. And there was a... There was not only a variety of sculpting down to moments on a generalized set, but a pace and a movement of the elements that also added to the collective whole of that. And I think that that's also, you know, scene changes can be overlooked or thrown in at the last second or whatever, but I think kind of sculpting that to all work together and things moving in unison or tandem really can tell the audience what is happening, what am I watching while I'm watching things move around, and where are you taking me to?
Right, and we can use the technology, lights, everything, to focus the audience's attention where it needs to be.
Right, which is what we really are. We're shepherds of the story, right?
Yeah.
When I talk to my students about design, specifically serving a play, I often am finding that I'm using the hand gestures like I'm a waiter handing you the tray, because we're literally serving something to it. And I often think of, as I'm designing, I'm thinking of a stage floor almost in that same way. Like, you know, how do we stack this meal on the stage floor to really look appetizing and inviting, and so I'll know how to, you know, get through it all.
I love that expression, shepherds of the story. That's a great way to think about it.
Yeah, I think it's exactly what we do. One of the things about plays, and in any way, and certainly in design, I'm always talking to students, is that you have to like to read, because you'll read this play over and over and over and over again, and it's not the first few readings that are the most valuable to me. It's the 15th reading that I see words that I'd never seen before that are all the clues. And I think of the script as really as our base material, but it's all the answers are there. You can't look anywhere else. They have to be there on the page somehow. And so we, as makers of theater, I feel need to know the clockworks of a play probably better than the playwright. I mean, the playwright inspired, visionary, knew it somehow intrinsically, but did they calculate, some do,
right.
but did they really calculate how everything unfolded along the path? Whether they did or not doesn't matter to me as a designer. I know when the script hits my hands, I have to be able to. And how can I communicate a story to an audience effectively, clearly, assuredly, if I don't know it inside and out? I mean, I have to know backwards and forwards to be able to lead them through it and serve it.
Well, and, you know, a playwright will consciously craft the thing he's working on, he or she is working on, but won't always know the unconscious things that are unconsciously driving and feeding this thing.
Absolutely, and I think it's like if you were to ask, I mean, they may not know, or they may not be willing to or interested in being introspective enough to discern. So it's like if you ask a songwriter about a brilliant song, you're like, what is it about? They're not going to tell you. What it's about is whatever it meant to you. That's their,
yeah.
you know.
It's about 3 minutes long is what it's about. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I think playwrights, a lot of times in the same way, they're not, it is not their concern to know that. That's the inspiration part. But we're not in their head, and so we do need to pick it apart and know all those things. And
you're picking apart a thing that has a life outside of the playwright's head. Now, yes. Once he writes it down, you know, it now lives as a thing that has its own identity.
It has its own identity outside the playwright's head as a script, as an entity, as work to be read, and then it has its own set of rules that have to be paid attention to in the venue, yeah, for your audience, for your budget, for your schedule, for your abilities. Really knowing how that works allows you then to put all those other factors into play and still come out the other end with something that an audience can walk away understanding and be affected by.
And so the book is filled with lots of, I'm sure, you know, technical ideas and sort of how to DIY sort of templates, but I imagine it's also filled with exactly the thing that we're talking about reading, about interpreting, about serving the play. Is that right?
Yeah, it absolutely is. It's funny, when I started to write this book, and then again when I was writing my introduction, I revisited the idea that I was trying not to be controversial. So I was trying to write this book. I want it to have a broad range of an audience. And so one of the things that we appreciate about theater is that people have varying opinions about the way it should work or what someone's role should be. And so I didn't want to step on toes and I didn't want to turn people off, but I did want to say, this is how this collaborative art form works. So the book starts out with what is collaboration and how does it work? And I actually walk people through an entire process of a show.
Wow.
This is what happens. This is what people are thinking about. This is what they're protecting. Talking about how to offer ideas, how to preserve or protect ideas when they're not along the lines of where the conversation may be going, when that's appropriate, all that kind of stuff. So yeah, I think that that's important for a young theater practitioner to understand that this dynamic between people is what it's all about. Fortunately, it's what our plays are all about too, so it's not so different than the work we're producing. It's another human experience that we're having. That's all tempered by or filled in with basic knowledge and concepts, a lot of terminology, and there are two sections of the book that reappear outside the text and boxes, and one of them's consider this, and it's expanding, so here's an idea, but here are all the implications. And the other one is there's more to know. Here's the text tells you this, but here's a whole nother subject that there's more to know on, and here's some sites where you can go to reference some of that information. So yeah, I hope it's inspiring as well as informative.
That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast. Tal Sanders' technical theater textbook will be available for download soon from Pacific University Press. Please check back for the link or follow us on Twitter, as I'll tweet it out repeatedly when it becomes available. I know I'll be downloading the book as soon as possible. Then send us your free textbook via email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com. You can also engage with us and other fans on Facebook or Twitter. You can find easy links to all these social networks at our website, reducedshakespeare.com. You can also follow me on Twitter @AustinTichner, and the RSC is now on Instagram too @ReducedShakespeareCompany. Thanks as always to not a stagehand but a stage thumb, Matthew Croak. Web services by Ginger Power Limited. Music by John Weber and GarageBand. Our random fan shout out this week goes to Lindsay Whitman Merkel. No reason, it's just random. Special thanks to Ken Ludwig, the 2-time Olivier Award winning author of Lend Me a Tenor, Crazy for You, and his own how to book, How to Teach Your Children Shakespeare. And finally, thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Titchener, 559 1677ths of the Reduced Shakespeare Company.
This sounds awesome. Please tell me you have a zippy title for it.
I do have a zippy title for it. An Introduction to Technical Theater.
Oh, that's going to fly off the shelves.
This podcast is a production of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to reducedshakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less.